Morning, how you guys doing? Great. Eventually. Yeah, it falls flat in the talk, see? It can only be done as an intro. It's good to have you here with us. This is the last week of our Advent series. You can tell we have our purple candles all lit today. I'm going to try not to burn myself or kick one over. Christmas Eve really kind of concludes the preparation for the Christmas season, but if you're not familiar with the church and the church calendar, Advent really means coming or arrival. It's the season when we're preparing for the birth of Christ and really our celebration of the birth of Christ. And so it's a fancy way of saying it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And this morning we're talking about peace. And I like peace. Do you guys like peace? Peace and quiet? Like peanut butter and jelly? I like peanut butter, but I like peanut butter and jelly, peace and quiet. We're just talking about peace this morning, but I like that. I don't like complaining. I've discovered that, again, afresh this week. One of the things that we do as a way of routine every morning is I drive my kids to the bus stop. We have about a half-mile private road stretch we have to drive them to, and I pile 5 children in the back of a Honda Accord, and then because I don't know, it's kind of fun, except when they're all complaining at the same time. And then it's not fun. And this was just one of those mornings, like, they literally were all complaining, all of them. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are driving me crazy. So finally, I just snapped. And I turned around, and I was like, guys, listen, shh, 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 shh. None of these things are problems. And this was, like, not a good parenting moment. And I went there, it was like, the news is good. I was like, kids are, like, dying in Syria today. All your problems can be fixed. Shh. And they did. They were quiet. And then like 20 seconds later, I'm like, what's the counselor's phone number? Not a good move. But don't you agree that there's like a certain degree of flippancy to the term peace on occasion this time of year? It's just like, hey, December rolls around. Peace. Peace, everybody. In our world, it's much needed, but it isn't always much present, right? It's a mixed concept. And so as we're going to talk this morning, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about it. We're going to look about Jesus' contribution to it and what that could mean for our lives in this season. So before we begin, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, this season is ultimately about you. And I pray that we would come away from this time, Lord, knowing you better. And knowing the peace that you have for us in a deeper way, in a way that permeates the layers of our soul and our heart, that helps us to experience you in the way you intended us to know you and experience you. And I thank you, God, for your goodness in this, and I thank you, God, for your endurance in this, that even when we don't always see it, don't always experience it, and are even resistant to it, Lord, that you continue to bless us with your goodness and surround us with it. In your name we pray. Amen. So the reality is that there's there's both a now and a not yet aspect to Advent and to peace. To Advent, there's the idea that Jesus has already come once and that he's going to come again. And there's a similar degree this is true for peace. There's a now and a not yet for peace. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. The next day after the complaining day, I woke up at around 5:45 to our daughter crying. This happens on occasion. So I get out of bed, pad down the hall, and I open the door, and I say, Mary, what's wrong? And she's crying, and she's kneeling on her bed like this, and she has her two hands out like this. And you know how kids, like, cry talk sometimes? They're like, I can't do it. I thought I would try, but it's not a good idea. So she says, Daddy, I just shot food out of my mouth. And a couple seconds later, she's like, and I shot apple juice out of my mouth, too. Now, this has quickly become one of my least favorite scenes as a parent. So I did what any compassionate father would do, right? I came up behind her, stuck my arms out at arm length, picked her up underneath her shoulders, and then began to, like, carry her like this to the to the bathroom. And while I'm carrying her, she starts to sing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King, King. She's like crying, King. It's a mixed world that we live in, right? Because we do get sick, and we do get yucky, and we do have to be cleaned up. And at the same time, there's joy because of Jesus. Huh. Christmas is a mixed season. John 1, 10 to 13 says this about Jesus. He came into the world, the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so it is. To all who believe in Jesus and accept him, he gives the right to become children of God. And what a precious right that is. This brings us to our core passage for this Advent series. It's Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. We'll read it together. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I feel a little cautious about the word adoption. Not cautious in the sense that the Bible uses it. I think it's the right word. But cautious in the sense that we have mixed experiences with that. And I don't think that's the intent here. I think the intent here is that we are loved, cherished. We're treated entirely as God's own children, special. We see this concept in Ephesians chapter 1. God decided in advance to adopt us into his very own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. It wasn't an obligation. It wasn't a responsibility. He wasn't just doing the right thing. It gave him great pleasure to find a way that we can be reconciled to him and to adopt us into his family permanently, forever. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, and he forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. And part of the reason that our adoption to God's family is unique is that really we were supposed to be part of his family from the very beginning. It was always supposed to be that way, but because of sin, we fell. First with Adam and then for all the rest of us. And that sin, it estranged us from God. It separated us from him. But when we believe in Jesus, when we repent of our sins, when we accept him, we are united with him. Forever. The broken relationship is made whole. I was thinking about homonyms this week. That might seem odd to you, knowing if I was an engineer in a former life. I think homonyms is the right phrase. Hopefully it's the right phrase. Two words in the English language, or I guess any language probably, that sound the same, spelled differently, and mean different things. Thank you. So today's homonyms are peace and peace. For the tape, that's two different words. Peace and peace. So I drew a little picture of myself. Two arms, two legs, a face, a kind of a smile, and some glasses, and a little bit of hair. And this is like, let's say it's my soul, okay? Yeah, or, you know, me and my relationship with God. And what happens in our lives, unfortunately, is that we're supposed to be whole. We're supposed to be one piece. But then sin changes it, right? I mean, some of us live a long time. It's more fun than I realized. homonyms. If I wanted, right, I could get some tape out and some glue and put myself back together and paper. But the only person who can do that really for us is Jesus. And that's one of the things we celebrate at Christmas time, because adoption brings us permanently into the family of Christ and heals those tears in our soul. And it heals the tears and the brokenness in our relationship with God. We have peace with God instead of enmity. Peace with Christ dwelling in our hearts right now, even though we're in the midst of a war zone in a way. Acts 10:36 says this: "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." It is a true, true message, and it's for us today. Colossians 3:15 says this: "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." Rule in your hearts. "For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful." The peace of Christ is intended to rule in our hearts, not anxiety, not fear, not uncertainty, not brokenness, but peace. It's supposed to rule there, and we're supposed to live in it. We're supposed to really bring it to others. Jesus also says he's going to show us the path of peace. Luke chapter 1, this is speaking of John the Baptist. "And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins, because God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven, is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." Jesus would do this work. He is doing this work. Peace ultimately comes from God. His plan has been to restore it to the earth, and we see here that it comes through Christ. And ultimately, it's about a restored relationship between God and man. So there's a now and a not yet to the Advent season. There's a now and a not yet to peace. Jesus has already come, and his first coming brings the possibility of a reconciled relationship with God into adoption, and adoption into his family. That's the reality right now, for this very moment, for anyone who's placed their faith in Christ. It's the good news of the gospel. It means that Jesus, he'll put our picture back together in an instant. He'll repair the rips that sin has caused. And it doesn't mean we still don't wrestle with sin, but he just keeps repairing those tears. He puts them back together again. We have what I'll call the first peace, a reconciled relationship with God. We are at peace with God. We're no longer enemies, but family. Not just a strange family, but the closest family you can imagine. So Jesus has already come once. There's a now effect, but there's also a not yet. There's really kind of two major definitions I'm working with regard to peace. The first is this: peace between individuals, harmony, concord. That's what we have with God now through faith in Christ. And the second is a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. By faith, we can have number one now, but number two is not yet a full reality. There's still conflict here. But part of that conflict is spiritual. I think this is one of the most interesting things I came across in putting this talk together. Jesus is called both the Lamb of God and the Prince of Peace. And rightly so. Rightly so. And yet, Jesus says these words in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. "Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword." This really destroys anybody's good peace talk, right? You're like, all the verses on peace, and all of a sudden this one. "I've come to set a man against a father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household." I feel especially thankful for these verses and all the families that I met this morning coming in with your students. Welcome. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus, in a sense, brings a great chasm or divide into humanity. And on one side of the divide is people who have faith in him. And the other side of the divide is those who don't. And sometimes that line goes right through a family. The second kind of peace isn't fully realized yet in our world. There's a spiritual battle at play, and Jesus is seeking to win the lost back to himself. There's a great chasm, but Jesus still has work to do. One of the things that he needs to do, we find in 1 John 3:8. "When people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's part of Jesus' work here. Think on this a moment. The Son of God, Lamb of God, Prince of Peace, came to destroy the works of the devil. We're not going to have lasting peace, the kind that God intends, until the works of the devil have been torn down, undone, eradicated. And where do we find these? Sure, right? They're in the systems of our world, but generally speaking, they're in us, in people. And Jesus has to tear those down. He has to find those things in the world, and he has to undo them. This is a famous passage for Christmas time, Isaiah 9. For a child is born to us, son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. Check out this verse that we don't usually hear too much with this verse. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies. What does Jesus have to do with an army? He needs to conquer, to win. There's a battle at play, and Jesus is still at work, and some of that's in our hearts. And while it's true that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice for sin, it's true that he's the Prince of Peace, he's still working. So how is this relevant to us right now? Well, one, if you're here today, you haven't placed your faith in Christ, you can. You can right in this moment. And you will instantly, permanently receive peace with God. Your picture is put back together again. And your life is never going to be the same. If you already believe in Christ and have been loving him for some time, please know that part of the way he loves you is to complete the work that he set out to do, to destroy the works of the devil in us. I know that sounds like a really intimidating phrase, but here's what I mean by that. We're talking about the process of sanctification. It's the way in which God makes us more and more into the likeness of Christ. He cuts out those patterns, those bad ways of thinking, those bad actions from our life, and he makes us more and more like him. He refines us. He purifies us. There's a third thing we need to keep in mind, all of us, and that's that we all need to know that Jesus is coming one more time. One more time. And when he does, he will bring justice with him. Matthew 25 says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then skipping down to verse 46, and they, speaking of the goats, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. It will be like this at the end. The sheep, those who have placed their faith in Christ, will go with him and experience eternity with him. Everlasting government of Christ and peace. But those who can't renounce the works of Satan, who don't repent, who don't follow Jesus, they can't experience peace. That's not a place where God's peace is going to be. And there's a separation. So Jesus' coming gives us a tremendous amount of hope, and it should for anyone who loves him. But for those who don't, it's an important message, a reality to contend with. I have a friend who put this on his Christmas list. It's a Scottish claymore. You know who you are. Notice it has two cutting edges, theoretically. The real ones do. And that's the kind he wants. So two cutting edges. And with the concept of peace, there really are two edges to it. There's a now and a not yet. Jesus is come and is coming. There's Jesus as the Lamb of God. And Jesus is one who bears a sword. He both is the sacrifice for our sins and is the one who purifies us and makes us more like him. And there's the reality of the sheep and the goats. The sheep. Plural is sheep. Could be sheepies. These are the things you never plan for. We're talking about swords. Sorry, that's not supposed to be funny. It's sharp. Sheep and goats. It's two sides, right? Two sides. There's a now and a not yet. Lamb of God, sword, sheep and goats. This is the message of peace. tremendous amount of hope, tremendous amount of power and potential in the hope of God. But what now? Now we need to experience it more, don't we? We need to experience it more. John 14, 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We come in here with a whole slew of challenges that we're facing. We're waiting for something. We're hurting from something. We're uncertain. We're lonely. We're in need. We're fighting, perhaps. Perhaps we're dying. We need God's peace. And the good news is that we have it in Christ. And I think we can have it more in the season, the deeper we go into him. As God's people, I think we have both opportunity and a mandate. I'll express it in one sentence as this. With peace, I think it's our job to experience it and to bring it to others. To experience it for ourselves and to bring it to others. We hear this, see this moment in Jesus' life just after he's risen from the dead. He comes and appears before his disciples. It's recorded in the Gospel of John. In the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The disciples were afraid that their Savior had just been killed. They're locking the doors, batting down the hatches, keeping themselves safe. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and stands right in the middle of them and says, "Peace be with you." Right in the middle of their need, right in the moment where they needed him. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And so they experienced joy. In the midst of sickness, in the midst of sadness, in the midst of brokenness. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You know, the gospel is the only message that brings peace and the only message that comes with power and the backing to say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You ever tempted to say those words to somebody? Just want to settle them down and say, hey, it's going to be okay. And we do this, right? We all do. Every one of us has said that, right? Especially if you're a parent. Say this, it's going to be okay. But the gospel is the only message that comes with the power to really mean that. It's going to be okay. So we have in us the possibility, both a peace from God that we can experience and live in every single day of our lives. And we know that someday he's going to come back. And he's going to establish his government, and peace will reign in a way that we can't even fathom. I don't know how long that's going to be, but I'm excited about that. I think this is a season for us to remember that, to keep that in mind. And so as we step away from this place today, this might be your last service of the year for some of you. Maybe we'll see you Christmas Eve. I think we have the opportunity to do two things. One, to experience peace in a deeper way, through a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with him, you can. And I think we are to be bringers of peace to others. We're to bring the wholeness that God restores in us and our relationship with God, and we're to bring it to other people. And we have a tremendous opportunity this holiday season to do that as people are coming into the season hurting and in need and broken. Some of them are happy, and that's great, but not all. And we can find the ones that need us and need the opportunity to see God's love through another person in this season. And I would just encourage you, can you be part of God's agency into this world in need in this season? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you restore us, that you make us whole. And you don't do it because we deserve it. You don't do it because of any righteous actions on our part. You do it through faith. You do it because of your goodness. You do it because you long to, because it gave you pleasure. And I thank you that we are truly part of your family when we know you, when we believe in you. And that changes everything. And Lord, would you forgive us if this time of the year we find ourselves running hard into Christmas with anxiety and busyness and distractions, things that are preventing us from seeing the reality, the message that you have intended for us, maybe this day, this Christmas. Lord, would you give us a moment to open our minds and our eyes and our hearts and see the things that really matter beyond what seems like it matters in a given day, to the things that matter for eternity, that we'll look back on and know this was more important. Would you grant us that grace, Heavenly Father? In your name we pray. Amen.